Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Where does immortality come from? God has revealed immortality through the gospel. There's a pathway to life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not be cast into an eternal torture. Wait a minute. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can go on and on unlocking this subject. You see where the enemy has confused a whole lot of things. He's accused God of something terrible. But yet there is an end. There is a destiny. God is not going to tolerate evil forever. There is an evil life force that is infecting the human race. And if he doesn't do away with that, that evil will just go on. You know, one scripture, the last time I preached on this, I did not use this scripture. It came to me after the fact. But if you got questions about this, and I'm sure some do, this is not what you've heard, not what you've been taught. But look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. Well, let's begin in verse 26. Because what the writer here is dealing with is people who have come into a knowledge of truth. They know about God. They know what they ought to do. And they somehow never quite let go and cross the line and enter and embrace it. What happens if people stop short because they love their earthly life and that's what they want more when it comes right down to it? There's a choice to be made. Like the song we were sung this morning, how the Lord is drawing a line in the sand. They see all of that over there, but something holds them back and they want their life more than they want what God has. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. That's pretty plain language, isn't it? You know, Revelation 20 talks about the fire, but it doesn't really tell you specifically what the purpose of the fire is. Here you got judgment followed by fire, but what does the fire do? It consumes the enemies of God. Whatever there is of suffering and consequences of sin is going on before that. But there is a day. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Interesting how people that are only born once die twice. You notice that? You're just born into this world. You've got Adam's life in you, and that's it. And your body dies, but that's not the only death there is. There's another death to come. Those who are born twice only die once. Praise God, because we serve one who has conquered death forever. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. There's got to come into you a life, the very life of God, the tree of life. We've got to have access back to that. Only Jesus can open the gate and allow us to get in there and partake of that and be born of that life. That's a life that cannot die. These bodies will die. They're temporary. If you're living for this, you're wasting your time. Seek first the kingdom of God. God can take care of the needs of this life. But oh, we better have God's life. Praise God. That's the destiny of God's people. And this same God who has written history before it happened, all the things that he says about those who cast their lot with him, those who completely identify with Jesus, who lay down their lives and embrace his and set their hearts toward what he has promised. Oh, praise God. God knew that ahead of time. He knew all about it long before it happened. What does it say? We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Oh, that means God just decides for everybody. No, but nothing. God's sovereignty is one thing, but he does not use his sovereignty to override our responsibility to listen and to humble ourselves and to cast ourselves upon him. But God also knows those who will do that. He says, I knew you before the foundation of the world. I planned for you. David said, all of my days were written in your book. David's biography was already written before he was ever born. In fact, he says, when all of the substance that made up his physical body was just a bunch of minerals in the ground, God knew all about him then. And he's just in awe of the greatness of God. Oh my, I want to be in his hands. What a destiny. And that's the glorious thing. A destiny is something that someone else, really, the bottom line is someone else determines that. You cast yourself on him, there is one who takes over, who is able to finish what he started. Praise God. We know what the ultimate destiny is, but even you think about your life here. What's my destiny? I know that one day they're going to, I'm going to leave this body. This physical life will be over, and then they're either going to cook me and scatter my ashes, or they're going to put me in the ground one way or the other. And then what? What does Paul say about that? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Praise God. Whatever happened before the resurrection, I believe the saints were having to wait. I believe when the Lord came forth from that tomb, he brought forth a host of captives with him. He rescued all the Old Testament saints who had just been waiting. Oh, they knew what was coming. You see the expectation of all the hope for the future, and yet they knew they were going to have to die and wait. But when Jesus conquered death, he brought a host of captives with him, and he opened a place where we can go and be with him. Praise God. Praise God. And we will know when we stand there, we don't stand there because of any virtue we have. My destiny was determined by what God did through Jesus Christ. I can rest in my hope in that. Praise God. And not only that, I'm not going to be some spirit floating around somewhere. I'm going to have a body. When's that happen? When do we get these new bodies that we're going to have? The ones that are like Jesus. When he comes. The last enemy. What's the last enemy? Death. When is that conquered? When Christ comes. I mean, it's just another witness. So there are no more enemies after that. There's no more battles. There's no more history of this world. It's gone. Death is finally forever conquered. And not only do we have life in our spirits, we have brand new bodies that are not subject to all of this. God's purposes from the foundation of the world begin to unfold in ways that we cannot even imagine right now. You know, we've talked about the glory and all of those kinds of things, and they're absolutely true. But look at what we're told to expect immediately following the passage in Revelation 20 that talks about the judgment. The next few verses give just a little bit of a glimpse beyond that. The Lord showed John some things. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Now, the new heaven and new earth is exactly what the Lord revealed to Peter. We realize this one's going to be burned up. That's its destiny, folks. This planet, everything about it, everything about this universe has been so corrupted by sin and death. It's going to be destroyed. But there's going to be something replace it. And it's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Praise God. It's going to be completely free from all of that stuff that's wrong with this world and this universe. All right? New heaven and new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Again, does that reveal the destiny? It's passed away. All right? And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem. A lot of this is figurative language, but there's something real behind the figure. Okay? I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. That's some fancy figurative language, but God's talking about us. We're the bride. We're the bride. So even though God's people have been in heaven, what we call heaven, some place that is above us somewhere, God knows all about that stuff. I'm not going to try to sort it all out. But I know there's a place where God's people are walking with him right now, waiting for all of this to completely happen. Okay? But now we come past all of the judgment, all of the destruction. He says, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. Praise God. A holy God can come and dwell with somebody like me. He's got a job on his hands to make me ready for that. But isn't that what everything is about? Praise God. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. No more death except, one little torture chamber. Sorry, I forgot about that. All of that has been passed away. See, it wasn't just people that were thrown in that lake of fire. It was death itself. It was Hades, the place of the dead. Everything was destroyed. God has an incinerator, folks. That's the destiny of this world. That is the destiny of those who harden their hearts against God. Jesus said if I can remember the scripture exactly, this is the condemnation in John chapter 3. This is the condemnation. This is the reason why this happens. Men, of light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light, or rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. People are making choices every day in this world. Those choices are fashioning them for their destiny. I'm so glad that I can just put my destiny in his hands. Praise God. Is God able to finish what he started? Has he written my story? I mean, you look at throughout the scriptures how God told Jeremiah, said, before you were formed in the womb, I chose you. I called you and made you a prophet to the nations. Say what? God was writing everyone's story. God's writing your story right now. I want to live out that story, don't you? Doesn't that mean that we need to be looking to God with a faith, with an expectation that says, God, I know you have called me, you have loved me, you have made yourself known to me, not because of any good thing you found in me, but because of your love and your purpose to have a people, to have a family, to share an eternity with. Praise God, and you're able to bring me to that place. You know, what was God's purpose in the beginning? When he created the beautiful creation, then he brought Adam and Eve to it. What was their place in that creation? They were given the first creation to rule over. You remember that? All things were put under his feet, under his hand, under his rule. But what we did was to disobey God, to rebel against him, and effectively hand over the control of everything to the devil. And so God has, since that day, been calling a people out of that order of things, getting them ready to share in something that's to come, that he's promised, that is as certain as what God has done through Christ and the resurrection and all of those things. His word will never pass away. That's what's coming. And God is using this world. But think about what that means about the new creation. Are we just going to sit around there and pluck harps? God is going to bring forth this amazing creation. And he's going to put us in charge. And he's fitting you for that. Every one of us is going to be brought to the likeness of Christ in the sense that we're going to be filled with his nature, his likeness, his character. And yet you and I are going to, everyone is different. Everyone is unique. Nobody's ever been made like you. I've said it many times. But God has got a place for you and for me in that brand new creation. It's going to be a life full of meaning and purpose and joy. You think about the sense of accomplishment that men have here. We're able to do this and do that and accomplish the other. But to be set free from all the things of all the sin and death and all the selfishness of this world, and free to enjoy what God has given to us and to love one another and have fellowship with one another, the things we will be able to explore, and you name it. I mean, you think of men exploring the universe. Who knows? We got all eternity to enjoy the creation that God is going to bring forth. And he'll be right in the middle of it with us. We won't ever be fighting against him and resisting him and doing it pridefully in that sense. We can enjoy. Oh, I'll tell you what. You can go on and on. But I think of Scripture. I'll just throw this one in that we so often quote in Philippians 1:6. I'm persuaded that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. Paul wrote that to first century believers. He said, God's going to be working in you till the day of Jesus Christ. Well, that's still future to us. God knows exactly when it's coming. That means there's still things that God is doing in them. It's not a matter of overcoming sin. They're in the presence of the Lord. But there's stuff that God wants to teach us. There's things that God's people are learning, and they're learning it there if they didn't learn it here. So many times we see people that we know that they gave themselves to the Lord, but there's still weaknesses and needs in their life, and it's evident they hadn't grown up. Well, is anybody here? Nobody here is totally grown up. If you and I died today, they could say, yeah, we believe they know the Lord, but we saw needs. The Lord knows about that. Whatever we will be on that day when we stand there in robed in white and in shining glory, God knows how to get his people there. That is a destiny that he determined. It's not like we have to go out and somehow make it happen. We surrender and allow him to work. Praise God. What is the destiny of this world? To pass away suddenly by fire. Does it make any sense to live for this world? What is the destiny ultimately of those who absolutely steadfastly refuse to humble themselves? What is the destiny? They will perish. There will be fire which consumes the enemies of God. I don't want to be his enemy. I want to be his friend. But that's a destiny for so many. I pray that God will change that in the heart. We're still in a time when God can reach some hearts. That's the thing. You know, you sometimes look out and you say, why in the world has God let this crazy world go on? Look at the terrible things that are happening. God's amazingly patient. We often quote the scripture, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. In one sense, God wants everybody to be saved. We have another scripture that says that. But when he says, when he talks about him being patient, not willing that any should perish, who is he talking about? You look in the context, he's talking about God's people. There are some of God's people yet in this world right now who have not heard the gospel, who have not yet been brought to that place of repentance. God is not going to leave anyone behind. That's what he's saying. That's the only reason God's waiting, because his table will be full on that day. Praise God. That's why we can pray and trust God to work in hearts that are in need today. But we serve a God who is absolutely in charge. There is a destiny for the world. There's a destiny for the people of this world who refuse him. But there is a destiny to which he has called his own. Praise God, he's well able and willing to take us all the way there. That's what I want to. I want to live with that knowledge. I want that to shape my thinking, to understand who I am and what my life is about, and to realize I might just be an instrument to help somebody that God wants to bring into the kingdom. But in the meantime, we can encourage one another. We can cry out to God to give us all that we need to stand in this dark hour, because we're going to need it. And he is willing, more than willing, to finish everything that he started. My destinies, my days, my times are in your hand. Didn't David say that? Everything that... How many times has God revealed things like that to God's people? Be good for us to listen and to get that in our thinking, to where that shapes the way we look at everything. Because we serve a God who is in control. What is your destiny today? If there's someone who hears this and you're, I don't know, I'm not so sure, you better cry out to God. There's a God who will hear your voice. If you really want him to make himself known to you, he will. If that's what matters to you more than just living out your life in this world and perishing, God will reveal himself and make himself real to you. He wants us to know. He wants us to be living with a confidence, not... I realize religion is producing a lot of people who will reach that day and wonder, oh my God, I thought I was one of them. God is not in religion. He is in the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not doctrine that'll save you and ritual and all those kinds of things. It's a living relationship with a Savior. And he comes to live on the inside, and he makes us brand new people. We're part of a new creation right then. The life that will fill that creation enters the human heart when we give that heart to him. He comes in and he seals it by his Spirit, and he absolutely seals our destiny, not because we are able to somehow achieve it, but because he is able to save those to the uttermost who come unto God by him. He is a mighty Savior. To God be the glory. Praise God. Destiny is something we need to understand. You know, part of my desire was to make this so simple that kids can get it. I don't know. I'm not very good at that, but maybe some of you Sunday school teachers can take it. But I'll tell you, the destiny of this world is destruction. The destiny of its people who reject him is destruction. The destiny of those who trust in Christ and he comes to live in there is glory and a life that never ends in a brand new creation. Walking with Jesus, because he's going to hand the kingdom off to his Father and walk among us as our elder brother in that day. And God will be everything. His life will fill everything. To God be the glory. That sounds like a mighty good destiny, doesn't it, to you? Praise God. Well, that's my destiny, not because I'm anything. The more I go, the more I realize God really... what he took on in trying to save me is amazing. Wow. But I could say the same thing about you. We all need a Savior. We have nothing to boast about except him. But he is able. He is able to keep what we've committed unto him against that day. It's alive, it's real, and it's coming. Destiny is absolutely something. Like I say, God has written history. I want to be on the right side of that history. And we can be. Praise God. To him be the glory.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time, and may God richly bless you until then.